right, welcome to this episode of Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined here by Brian Mueller, Jack Estabrook, and the Wolf family.
We're always alone together.
It saves time. Oh my god, this movie this week, a modern classic? A masterpiece?
I can honestly say it's Taylor Lautner at his finest.
It is the 2011 Taylor Lautner vehicle abduction. Brian, do you want to give us a quick summary of?
Well, the short summary is: let's see if we can make a movie and see how many times Taylor Lautner can take his shirt off. That's kind of like the short summary of it. But basically, this regular high school kid finds out that he holds the key to a CIA cover-up that could take down basically the entire American government, and becomes basically more competent than some of the world's most feared killers, and somehow comes out on top in the end.
Yeah, it's a documentary.
Yeah, it's based on true events.
This movie. this movie is really something.
It asks a lot. It expects you to go along with a lot of things that are just so outlandish by even action movie standards.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no suspension. I mean, don't suspend it. Just let it go, your disbelief. Like, you have to completely let it go. It opens up with just a bizarre opening scene.
This is the worst opening scene of a movie I've ever seen.
Worse than Manos, The Hands of Fate, when they were driving around a highway for 20 minutes.
This was the dumbest way to open a movie. A guy on the hood of a truck.
And he's, yeah.
At 70 miles per hour.
It's like Death Proof.
It's like Teen Wolf when he was like surfing on top of the car.
But I don't think they're going 70 in Teen Wolf, were they?
That's what I'm watching. I'm like, oh, okay. You know, this is kind of whatever.
I was hoping for a horrible car accident and that would be the end of the film.
And the film ends right there. Yeah,
good movie,
though. Well, I mean, think about that. He's riding on the hood of this pickup truck. And it's clear, you know, it's going pretty fast. It's like, oh, okay, this is a weird stunt. Then they show the speedometer. It says 70 miles
an hour. He pushes down the gas, starts going 70, 75.
Yeah, do you know what that would be like?
He would fly off the roof.
You stick your head out the window at 40, you can't breathe.
You can't breathe. He would be dead. Yeah, they take what almost could have been just an interesting stunt and then just make it look stupid. And it's clear the car is not going 70 miles
right.
an hour.
And I guess they're trying to establish this kid as like a... adventurer, or like he's something, I don't know what.
He's a rebel.
But the rest of the time he's just sitting in his room whining about how he's different, though.
Yeah, and then they play up like, well, are we going to get there yet? He has a psychiatrist and he talks about anger issues.
We'll get to that. It basically establishes he's an idiot. And so they go to this party, which apparently is a high school party.
I thought it was a frat party. The
kid's selling fake IDs to all these kids, and it's like
they're in their 40s.
Yeah, these kids are like older than I am.
Yeah, they. And by the way, nothing in this movie is subtle. We get introduced to Lily Collins as the girl he clearly likes, and he clearly likes him.
I'm gonna elaborate on that. This film is full of just idiot proof. Wink, wink. This is what's going on here, guys. Wink, wink.
Actually, when Lily Collins, who's the love interest in this film, was first introduced, if you listen to the soundtrack, seriously, the lyrics of the song are saying, "I like you, boy." That's the kind of movie this is. That's the kind of subtlety you get in this film.
I was expecting one of those, like, Kiss Me slow motion montages from She's All That to start.
Yeah, well, they did slow motion there, too, right? When she walked in, it was a slow motion shot.
It's like a big
He's
episode.
Looking at her like, yeah. Yeah, like, yeah.
And then doesn't somebody say something like, "Oh man, you've been looking at her for years. Why don't you ask her out?" Wasn't there some line
That's
like
later,
that?
Yeah.
It's
later.
Oh,
yeah.
It's later. Okay.
I mean, but yeah, it was basically
they take out the mallet and they just hammer things in. We'll toss them out as we go.
Yeah,
but all the time you're going to hear things that is like, "Oh, okay, this is what's going on," and then there'll be a line that says it, and you're like, "Yeah."
So he and his friends get drunk at this party. He wakes up the next morning
with his shirt off.
Amazingly, the shirt's gone. Shocking. And somehow his dad knows he's there. His dad comes to pick him up. His dad is angry that he got drunk at this party.
And at least in the most ridiculous father-son bonding time I've ever seen.
Wow, I know.
The dad does what any good father would do.
I mean,
beats the crap out of his son.
You want to drink like a man, you're going to fight like a man.
There is a brutal fight scene between...
And this is...
Taylor Lautner and Jason this is, Isaacs.
We're talking Jason Bourne here.
Yeah, this my first laugh out loud moment of the movie came when he kicked his son in the chest and sent him flying like 10 feet.
I think there was a whoosh sound effect.
And then the mother's watching this all from the kitchen, drinking her coffee. Yeah, like, oh, boys,
all these boys.
Out comes the mallet. Oh, my boys. Yeah. Yes, we get it.
Yeah, and we're not talking about, like, oh, little father-son, tough boxing. This is, like, I half expected the Mortal Kombat music to come on.
Yeah, he was close to ripping his style off.
And it goes so long. They actually, it's another movie
it's
where they really
about
go,
it's probably about 3 seconds. What state were they in?
What state were they in at that point? I can't remember.
It's supposed to be in Pennsylvania. Supposed to be in Pennsylvania because every 5 minutes
by
they
the
keep
way,
telling
in that
you.
So I want to know what the child abuse laws are there for parents because
it's incredible.
Oh my god! I mean,
it's so
I'm going there.
It's so uncomfortable, isn't it? Like this scene actually made me uncomfortable.
And
I couldn't tell if it was supposed to come off as goofy or like completely.
Well, I can understand if it started off as like a friendly spar. Because the idea is he's supposed to be sparring. He's teaching his kid how to fight.
Right.
Because, well, we'll get to why. But he's teaching him how to fight. So the idea is, okay, it starts off as, come on, Dad, can we do this later? I'm hungover. And he says, come on, you want to drink like a man? You got to fight like a man. Well, I thought it would be like maybe a little playful.
Right,
okay, a couple of jostling, you know, punches. It's like, okay, they're just sparring. But no, it goes right from you want to drink like a man, you got to fight like a man. And it's like...
punching him in the face.
It's like punching him in the face. And I may as well have gotten bricks out and started... And then mom is watching, as Brian said, drinking her coffee. Is,
it's crazy.
Know?
It's crazy. It and, then, well, then, and then, so there's this brutal, endless fight scene. Immediately, snap cut. The family's at dinner.
Well, no.
It's
no,
all laughs.
But before that, though, the fight ends, and his mother says, oh, you know, she breaks the 4 hours. He's like, oh, you're grounded. And he's like, what? Why?
Right,
like,
that's right.
Your father just kicked the crap out of you. You're surprised that you're grounded?
I know. That's right. Yeah, he grounds
like, that's
him.
What hurt you.
He thought it was going to be the good cop, bad cop. The dad beats him the hell up, and then the mom...
I know.
Well,
before his drop kicked him.
Yeah. Before all that, though, I don't know about you guys, but I didn't know for sure the relationship. I didn't know that it was his father. It was never clearly established to me that I thought it was actually like a stepfather.
Well,
or something.
I thought that's what
it seemed like an abusive relationship.
No,
they
didn't
say dad or anything.
Earlier in the movie, he says at the party, he says, "Oh, my father will kill me if he finds out." And then his father pulls up and he's like, "Oh, speaking
and
of,"
then, and there, then, so. And then proceeds to try to kill him.
I must have missed that
for a movie to not understand the plot points of abduction. That's pretty.
But then going back to that,
I hope my father doesn't find out.
Jeez, Ma, you're gonna ground me.
I missed that line. I thought it was a stepfather or something because she didn't say, you know, your father. Or the mother kept saying Kevin or something. She didn't call him Dad or whatever. I don't know. I was confused.
Kind of, well, we'll find out later why they don't call him Dad.
But yeah, back to the dinner scene though. My favorite thing about the dinner scene is his face. Taylor's face is just completely just there's no
right,
bruising.
Right.
No,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, everyone's fine.
Which we'll get to that in another part later too.
Yeah, it was. I mean, like a Street Fighter brawl happened like moments earlier. Everyone's fine.
He
got
punched in the eye at least 5 times.
Yeah, grass stains.
This is a good setting for where this movie's going. We then move forward to, and by the way, if you know anything about this movie, you've probably heard how awful Taylor Lautner's performance was. I mean, wooden. Stilted,
he makes
awkward.
One...
It, you know, but I'm gonna say I didn't even think he was the worst actor in this movie.
Because
actor in this movie comes in right after this,
which is
Sigourney Weaver.
This shocked me. I was very upset in Sigourney's performance.
Oh my,
I mean, come on,
It was phoned in.
She must have just said, "All right, fine, pay me my money. The script sucks. I'll muddle through." I can't imagine. Any other reason? I mean, she's not the best actress, but she's better than that.
Oh, she's much.
She was an Avatar.
Better than that.
She's a multiple Oscar.
She's always in A movies.
She's a good
Avatar,
actress.
Alien,
Abduction.
That's why.
Well, Abduction.
Yeah, like,
hey, Sigourney,
we got a movie that starts with an A.
She's in an A movie. That's a good point.
Every scene she's in, it's like someone is holding a cue card right next to the camera lens, and she's just
she's not reading.
Cold reading.
It's got to be. I was very disappointed in Sigourney.
I think
she's
shot,
and I don't think she is. But if you're Sigourney, I'm greatly disappointed in your performance in Abduction. You're better than that.
I think they could only afford her for like maybe 12 hours.
That's got to be what it is. Maybe she just woke
with
up.
No,
I don't know.
Get off the plane. Here's your cue cards. Read. Go.
Embarrassing. I mean, really embarrassing.
It's
I mean,
they did
God.
The old Eddie Murphy trick in Bowfinger. They didn't. She didn't know she was in the movie.
There you go.
So then, and again, the subtlety of this movie, you know, gone. Lily or I'm sorry, the girlfriend, Lily Collins breaks up with her creep boyfriend who's in college and can have any girl he wants.
They really can't spend any time
on this. He's in all of about the movie for about 15 seconds, and you know he's a creep because all he does is yell at her
and Taylor Lautner doesn't fight him because he's got anger issues, which is why he clenched his fist
and he's okay.
That shows he has anger issues, but they're under control.
And here I get
by the way, the first half hour of this movie, just watching rich kids and their problems.
Yeah, I know.
It's like really, yeah, really.
I could identify with that.
It's like a bad
the rich kid complaining about how he's a freak. And...
It really, yeah, it's like a bad episode of like 90210.
Was there ever a good one?
Well, actually, 90210 is more subtle. One of my favorite not subtle moments in the movie. How do we know that Lily Collins or Lily Karen, the Karen character, broke up with her boyfriend? There is a shot of her ripping up a picture of them.
right in the middle.
Big one over there.
There's a poster on the wall.
It's a 3-foot-wide poster of them, and she rips it in the middle.
Okay. They're done.
So they sell that with the wallet size. You get four wallet size, and you get one jumbo, you know. Yeah.
One for my ceiling.
You got a billboard-sized... spread of you and your boyfriend, and you could just tear it up while listening to. I was confused as to whether they were broken up until she tore that picture up.
Right, then I knew.
Oh, that's the sign.
Yeah, that's when you knew. That's over.
I mean, at this point.
And then she said it again a scene later.
That's another hammer. They wanted to establish the breakup. They had to make sure the audience knew, so they decided to emphasize the point by making the picture as large as possible. Right.
You pretty much knew when the kid left.
And technically, it gave the boyfriend actor more screen time.
And this was followed by another hammer moment when he's wrestling. And it's like, okay, we get it.
He likes to fight.
He knows how to fight.
They're wrestling in the most dramatically lit gym I've ever seen in my life.
It is.
I don't know if anybody's... Have you ever been in like basketball game in high school or gym or wrestling matches? I've never been in a Hollywood lit gym.
Well, it was like they were wrestling.
It was like they were wrestling in a horror movie or a haunted house.
I don't know what it was. There's pools of light coming down from above,
and it's like... I've never been in a gym like, I mean, I don't know where, again, Pittsburgh, right? Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
All right, well, I guess the
They have Hollywood lighting directors come in and light the gyms for wrestling matches.
Yeah. So moving forward, Taylor Lautner and Karen, the girl who just broke up with her creepy boyfriend, get assigned to work on a project. It's never really established what
the project is. It's about the internet.
It's about the internet.
And looking things up.
And missing kids. Yeah.
Somehow it comes to missing kids.
Yeah. It's about missing kids.
It was a very weak way to tie in that plot line.
Yeah. And in this really poorly written, poorly edited sequence. Like, that doesn't even... I don't even know if we need to talk about it. He finds a picture of himself.
My favorite part about this, before you say...
Go ahead.
Is that they're looking at these pictures of missing kids and totally laughing and making fun of these kids.
Right. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. They're like, look at that kid's nose. Ooh, nice hair. These kids are probably molested, abducted, murdered, yeah. and they're sitting here laughing.
Because that's hilarious.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
Until he finds one of himself.
Right, he finds one of himself.
He finds one of himself.
And how does he prove it's... They still have the shirt.
Yeah, he still has a shirt from that exact picture.
And it has that milk stain on it. There's some big debate over whether it's him or not. How do you not look at yourself as a kid?
Did I look like that when I was a kid?
Yeah, I think later on there was a line like, we never had any pictures. I never had my pictures.
But he did, though. There was like five other pictures.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. While they were having dinner earlier in the movie, there is a dramatic pan from the camera tracks from the table to a counter where... All these photographs are set up, and of course, much like the boyfriend picture, they're like these professionally taken headshots, basically, that just show the family. But there aren't any kid pictures.
There was one.
Or maybe there was one.
There was one, because there's the one that's cut off awkwardly. But again,
it's ridiculous.
They still had the shirt.
Right, it's the proof. It's the same exact shirt from this picture.
But you can get that in any department store.
And at the time, I thought there was an abduction, so I thought, why would you keep a shirt if you abducted this kid?
It's totally ridiculous.
But then it got even more stupid.
It's ridiculous. Jumping ahead a little bit, he clicks on this website where he found his own picture and enters into some kind of crazy 1995 live bulletin board chat with guys who you don't even know what they're doing, but they're clearly bad because they speak in European accents. And
they have that scene when they walk through the revolving door, and then the camera freezes every time one of them walks in, and then the next one comes through slow motion and looks at the camera like they're introducing them.
Yeah.
That was later on, but
and
it's like Hans Gruber comes through the door, you know.
And it's so. I mean, again, no subtlety whatsoever. They're bad. I don't even know. You don't even know why they're bad. You don't even know who they are. You're
like I said, they got European
they're
accents.
Just, they're
just
bad, right. I guess. And they want him. So these bad guys make a bunch of weird phone calls, and next thing you know, a couple of bad guys show up at the house to get him.
This is right after
to abduct him.
He asks his mother, are you my mother? And immediately she starts crying and says, no, I'm not your mother. Instead of like, she just admits right away that no, I'm not your mother.
Right.
And then right after that is when.
From this point on, before
she can actually tell him what's going on.
The two thugs disguised as cops knock on the door. And from this moment on, abduction has squat to do with the plot. Squat.
There's no abduction. Yeah, there's
from
no
that
abduction.
Moment on, abduction has got nothing to do with this movie. They may as well just call the movie Explosion or Machine Gun or Showdown at the Pirates game.
Yeah.
Or Taylor Lautner takes his shirt off.
To jump ahead a little bit, it turns out Jason Isaacs and Maria Bello, who play his parents, actually are also CIA agents. They were protecting him. They get in a weird fight scene with these agents, which actually is probably the best.
And the agents,
kicks some ass.
Yeah.
After Maria Bello kicks ass, she gets shot and she dies on the floor.
Shot by like tranquilizers at first.
It does sound like tranquilizers.
It does. Yeah,
I thought same thing. She's dead.
Yeah. Well, she falls to the ground dead, and then her husband comes around the corner. He's got his gun.
Yeah.
Because he hears this. He's like in the garage while she's getting assaulted by these two men. But then
he
turns off the bandsaw right as she screams her last scream and hits the ground. He's like, oh my God, of course. His CIA instinct, the audience doesn't know this yet, but I mean, come on, what else could possibly be going on? He pulls out his gun. He sneaks through the house. He peers around the corner. He sees these two thugs standing over his dead wife. He pulls out his gun, makes his presence known, and what does he do? But throw down the gun and run towards the other thug with the gun. He gets into a fist fight.
I mean,
he had the drop on him.
It's terrible. I mean,
but then the same exact thing happens a few minutes later when his father gets killed and the bad guys have Karen and they're using her to draw out Taylor. He comes in, picks something up, and yells, "Hey!" and then throws it at the guy.
Yeah,
like, why don't you just attack him?
Karen and Taylor Lautner escape the house by jumping into the pool.
You're skipping my favorite line in this movie is when there's the bad guy's on the floor and Taylor's like about to kill him.
Yeah.
And the guy says, there's a bomb in the oven.
Yeah, what was the bomb in the oven?
And then
how did they get the bomb?
And then they actually go and check the oven.
There was a bomb in there. That guy,
sure
nothing else,
bomb.
Was very honest.
Why was there a bomb in the oven?
I don't know. Why did the guy tell him?
What was the point?
They went out of their way.
He's ready to shoot the girl, kill the whole family, but he's going to tell him, hey, there's a bomb in the oven.
Why not just put the bomb there and then blow up the house when they're all asleep?
So a comically cardboard CGI Taylor Lautner and Karen jump out of the house. When I say jump, the CGI is like ridiculous. If you go back and watch
it,
they don't even move. It's just two like it's like rotoscope. Like two figures just fall out of the house into the pool. The house explodes. They survive the explosion by swimming underwater. They're on the run. Okay, so they're on the run. They don't know what's going on. Somebody's trying to kill them.
Absolutely not abducted in any way, shape, or form.
And she's hurt, so they go to the hospital.
Right.
They go to the hospital. There's a whole bunch of other shenanigans happen. And Sigourney Weaver comes back into the movie. Somehow Sigourney Weaver knows what's going on. And Sigourney Weaver is a friend of his real parents.
Right. So she's been protecting him.
And she's been protecting him.
Keeping an eye
on
him.
No, we don't know this yet, though.
She says it in the car.
Yeah. She shows up with a bunch of balloons. This is her big contribution to their rescue. She shows up with a goofy-ass bunch of balloons to block the security cameras.
Which, by the way, the CIA has somehow tapped into the security cameras.
Well, it's technology nowadays, man. I'm afraid of everything nowadays because
CIA,
you can do anything. Like right now, your TV might be watching us right now because
yeah,
that's, CIA, they can tap into everything.
The bad guys can too. Everybody's tapped into everything in this movie.
Cell phones.
Any call that's ever that's made.
Yeah, no, I don't think anyone successfully made a call they wanted to in this movie because either the CIA or those European guys.
But my favorite thing is that Taylor Lautner never, like, he keeps making stupid phone calls. He never thinks, like, oh, every time I make a phone call,
they know I'm going to order a pizza. Damn,
they're tapping every
again.
Phone. In this movie, every single phone is tapped for the sole purpose of waiting. So I get the impression that the CIA created their own unit specifically designed to tap and monitor every single phone in the United States of America, be them pay phones, personal phones, cellular phones, satellite phones, doesn't matter, off chance that Taylor Lautner might answer the phone and say, I need help because my house was just blown up. And finally, everything we've saved up for all these years has come to fruition.
And here's the comedy. At one point, the CIA guys are tapped into a phone call, which then the European bad guys are tapped into the CIA's tap. It's totally ridiculous. Anyway, Sigourney Weaver somehow gets them out of this hospital using balloons.
Yeah.
Which, if you see, I mean...
Like we discussed, they start running away from nobody.
Yeah,
they're perfectly safe. Nobody sees them. And they're like, run! Yeah. Oh my god, they're like going crazy. It's like, nobody's following you.
Probably the sight of like 50 balloons running at a high speed down the hallway that alerted their presence.
Yeah.
And at this point, it's the first time that Taylor can leave Karen behind, keep her safe. Instead, he says, I'm not leaving without her. Even though everyone's dying, he's like, I'm going to take this girl along with me for no reason.
Yeah, for no reason. They get in the car with Sigourney Weaver.
Wait, yeah, but the stupidest line in the whole movie for me was in the parking garage after she releases the balloons and looks at him and says, I hate balloons. Yeah. And I'm like...
And she says it just like that.
I hate balloons. I'm like, how does that help my plot line?
Worst catchphrase.
Supposed to be a laugh?
Yeah, it was the worst.
I don't know. I hate balloons.
That they were hoping it would be the new I Hate Snakes from Indiana Jones.
Or, yeah.
I hate balloons because they're going to do a sequel and Sigourney character is going to have to cross a pit full of balloons.
But Indiana Jones.
To get to the Knight's Tomb to
Indiana
find out.
Jones
where the,
didn't
where
say,
the,
like.
The Cold
Grail. I hate snakes. Right. See, the little feeling, a little emotion there.
Plus, it mattered because they're saying, it's like you have expected.
Yeah, but now imagine
there,
this. Imagine
where,
this.
Like,
imagine
balloons
this.
Come attacking.
Imagine
Sigourney
this.
Weaver,
okay,
like,
imagine.
Right,
this.
Yeah, I mean,
you're Sigourney Weaver. You have Oscars, right? You've worked with greats like Ridley Scott, and you say to yourself, you're reading the script, and you're like, okay, this is a horrible movie. I'll do it. They're paying me enough. And then you're looking at the dialogue before the wooden scene where she's the psychiatrist and she's his therapist. That was wooden enough. But to have that line, I hate balloons. Do you think she fought it? Do you think she was just like, I hate balloons, really?
Maybe she ad-libbed it.
Maybe she ad-libbed it.
And they're like,
that
was
great.
Brilliant!
She gets them in the car. She's getting away from the cell. At this point, the movie is two scenes back-to-back where... between Sigourney Weaver talking to Taylor Lautner and Karen, and then we go to the CIA guys. Alfred Molina is the head CIA guy. They start throwing names. Who's good? Sigourney Weaver's telling him, just throwing these names at him. The CIA guys are throwing names at him. Characters we haven't seen. My note for this is my note on my sheet. Who? What? Where is happening? I mean,
you'd have to rewind
and
write it all down to get it all because it was like
trust this guy, but this guy you can trust in.
This guy's in the brother in law of my best friend's wife.
Oh, they just vomit names at you for like two scenes. Nothing.
Somehow this all sticks with Taylor Lautner, like the day before.
Remember this address. She gives him an address and then throws him out the car.
And he knows how to get there.
Yeah.
Because
they get to a truck and they say, can you take us to Virginia?
Well, here, we have to know this movie begins to alternate between, like, they're hiding in the woods, trying to hide from all these guys at times, like, hiding, like sleeping in the woods. They get into a river at one point because they evade capture.
Well, Sigourney throws him out of the car because the CIA is hot on their trail. But are the bad guys hot on the trail? The CIA? It gets confusing. You don't know.
And
then she throws him out of the car. She tells him this pertinent information of 2 minutes worth of crap. She just hammers into his brain. He's expected to remember. Throws him out of the car. Says, don't take the girl with you. He says, no, I'm taking the girl. Okay, fine. Throws him out of the car. The car explodes. And now the kids are in the street.
Which was a pretty good diversion. Sigourney Weaver said she was going to create a diversion to shock them off.
That was
pretty good.
Blowing herself up. She wanted to get out of the
movie. So then they're going through the woods. They're going through the stream. They're freezing cold.
But then
one scene later, they're walking right down the middle of the road. Thumbs out, hitchhiking. What?
But
I mean,
before that, they were in the woods. Wasn't that the part where he says to her?
Which is how people really get abducted.
Right, yeah, was that the part? It's the part where he says to her, "I'm taking you home. You'll be safe there."
Yeah, after he had like three opportunities to leave her behind. Yeah.
But not even that. The bit. Why does she say, "Hey, the bad guy had a gun to my friggin' head and was going to kill me"?
Which is, I don't think it's safe for me to go home.
Your parents are in Italy, so I'm going to take you. I'm going to take it back there. The CIA knows you.
Microwave. We don't know.
Right,
that,
and the CIA already knows that. You know, they said in the hospital, "We know you got Karen with you." Blah, blah, blah. And it's like, why would you think that's the safest place for to go is home?
And by the way, when they do all this, they get through the stream, whatever. That night, he goes to like some gypsy camp in the middle of the woods.
Oh, it takes
and steals like a blanket.
Yeah,
and
that was
towels.
Like the biggest tease scene ever. Then, you're expecting something to happen there. Yeah. He's pulling the blankets off the clothesline, and then he just left.
Who did he steal those from?
Then they fall asleep. The next morning, he wakes up, and it's the only emotion he ever shows about his parents dying. There's tear stripping down his cheek, which his face, by the way, is completely clean.
Right,
they're both completely clean. Hair is perfect. They just slept in woods. One tear, you know, coming down his cheek, and you know the girl sees it, and he's like, "Oh, I was just thinking about my."
And it's
completely fine.
Snap out of it.
It's
well,
like that's how point, that's how rich pretty people cry. It's like
to say
one single tear.
The wheels really come off. This movie's already a disaster, and the wheels really start to come off at this point because now they have to go find this address that Sigourney Weaver gave them
in Virginia,
like
in another state.
They get a car. How do they? They hitchhike to Virginia and they find this apartment and they go in.
Hey, you're going to Virginia? Yeah.
Virginia's a small place,
right? Virginia, we never. Yeah, it's never really.
And
made
he gets
clear.
To his dad's apartment.
It's his dad's apartment. He grabs. There's some stuff there. He takes a cell phone. Blah blah blah. And then now these guys know. Everything they've done, every phone call they've made has been tapped. The CIA has talked to them every time they've made a phone call.
And or the bad guys. Because every now and then the bad guys will talk to him too.
The first thing Lily Collins does when she walks into this apartment where they're told it's going to be safe for them to be, she picks up the landline phone.
I got to call my uncle.
Calling this mysterious uncle she was talking about.
God.
Now let's say he's led to the address that Sigourney told him, which of course is in Virginia. So of course that's all he needed to know. He gets to this apartment. Now this is the apartment of his biological father. That's just to keep you up as to what's going on. Continue.
So then immediately they then have to flee this apartment that they just got to in a BMW,
which
they're like you know, psyched they have this BMW. They take off, and then there's sort of, again, apparently they heard all these names that everyone was throwing at them faster. They get the brilliant idea, we should take. They go to see his real mom's grave, and in a sequence right out of, like, I don't even know what, like the Bloodhound Gang, they figure out that one of the names that Sigourney Weaver said was safe has been leaving flowers at his real mom's
grave.
That's
what was right.
Why don't we take a train
to Nebraska.
Well, yeah. Okay, but
because he's a safe name.
Two things. At this point, they've already revealed that his parents weren't his real parents, blah, blah, blah. And that, what was the other thing I was going to say? Where'd it go? But anyways, so they discover that there's these flowers there. So they go to the guy in the head of the cemetery or whatever and ask him to, like, search the records of this name.
Right,
at this point, I'm thinking, you know that the CIA is gonna find this, right? You know that,
right?
And immediately after that,
wait a minute. Here's
immediately
one.
After that, they go to the CIA, like, oh, we have a hit on this name, and
wait a minute.
He's going to Nebraska. Yeah.
What cemetery keeps a dossier on people who show up to lay
flowers
on gravestones?
They have a whole like computer.
Well, I think he sent them, right? He sent them via.
Maybe they shipped it. Okay, yeah. Maybe. So, okay,
and the other plot point
too
is they revealed that the missing person's website wasn't a real missing person's website; that it was something the bad guys set up to try to catch Taylor Lautner because his father had some
list
that they wanted. So they set this up in the hopes that he would find it and then do exactly what he did.
Yeah, revealing his location. It's a really intricate plan for being so incredibly stupid. So
and that guy who took that call, I wonder if that's his only job. Like, he just waits around for that one call. He
I guess so, yeah, because he reacted
to
it.
So
he wasn't all that excited about, though. He was like,
the jump forward, so they get fake IDs, they get on this Amtrak train. Although somehow the bad guys know they're on the Amtrak train.
But there's two things about this scene I love too. First, he's got a gun on him, I think. Oh. And they're walking on the train. There's a guy like sweeping with the metal detector, like random people.
Right.
And he stares at this guy, he's, like, right. really, like, suspiciously and awkwardly.
It's like this guy doesn't pull him out of line.
Like, he's, like, staring at him, like, and the, don't look at me.
And the guy with the wand's looking at him, like, why are you looking at me like that? And
they're like, you're a weirdo. You're a weirdo.
The second thing,
get on board.
Immediately after that, when he gets on, it pans over to the back of the line where the bad guys, one of the bad guys is standing there. And it does this dramatic, like, zoom in. I'm like, And I do that, like, every single time you see the bad guy after that on the train. You'll see him, like, looking through a window, and it's a dramatic zoom in, like,
and
he's still here.
Like, no subtlety. Like, remember this guy?
He's bad.
Such the typical European bad guy. He had, like, the black rim glasses and, like, well-dressed. And
they get on the train, and Taylor Lautner and Karen, they have this one compartment. And actually, I think we're going to do a quick dramatic reading of this scene. Brian, I'm going to ask you. I'm going to play Taylor Lautner scene where they get together.
How do you get to play Taylor Lautner?
I'm going to be Taylor Lautner.
You're not going to take your shirt off, are you?
This is the only sex scene you're doing here?
And,
where are we here?
This is when the two of them... I'm gonna
Wait, what's my motivation?
You're 17 year old girl.
I'm vulnerable, feeling very, very confused right now, and I need a good man to calm me down.
Or actually, I'm sorry. I'll be Lily Collins. I'll be Lily Collins.
Oh, now, wait.
That fits.
Yeah.
This is just... Yeah. Well, I got to get into character now.
And
I was
you're
in love
with
Collins
yourself.
Character.
You like to take your shirt
off.
You're a werewolf.
I like to take my shirt off. I am a terrible actor.
Okay, that's going to be your own. Ready? I'm Lily Collins. Remember the boathouse that summer? That summer after 8th grade? When we skipped the canoe trip? When we got back, why didn't you ask me out?
I thought summer was summer. I don't know.
Are we going to die?
I had a mug. What?
Well, I mean, she got her answer. She was moving on to the next conversation.
And by the way,
summer was summer.
You put way too much emotion in it. Wasn't enough.
Your face moved too much.
We then get the most awkward product placement ever. I don't know if anyone caught this in the train cafeteria. Really happens. She picks up a Milky Way. You can clearly see it's a Milky Way. And she goes, oh, he might like that.
They're midway through this movie and they're running out of money. They're like, who can we get? Milky Way.
To mention Coca-Cola, you'll start to see prominently from this point on.
Yeah, but then right after that, then they show the bad guy looking at her through a window and then another scary zoom in.
Which leads to a crazy fight scene on the train.
Which isn't a bad fight scene.
Well,
The fight scenes were good. They were just unbelievable.
It gets bad at the end when there's that rocky moment when he's hearing his father's voice in his head. Flashing back to when he's beating the crap out of him in the beginning. All this crap.
Of course, the bad guy taunts the girl for a little bit.
He's hearing this in his head.
Well,
he's
hearing all this advice from his dad, which basically boils down to, again, like Mortal Kombat, his dad is basically saying in his ear, finish him.
Fight back, son.
It's not a bad fight scene. It goes on.
But during the fight scene, they go through the whole fight scene. Taylor Lautner gets his face freaking jammed into a window. I think the window cracks.
The window breaks.
You can tell the fight scene. Not a red mark on his face. Not a bruise. Not a hair out of place. He's like... superhuman, I guess. I mean,
it's that adamantium reinforced skeleton.
Well, then he throws a bad guy out the window like James Bond. Yeah.
He throws a bad guy out the window, steps on his glasses.
That was the
FU moment. That was the FU moment right there. Crushes European glasses.
So not symbolic. And our next jarring transition. So the train stops, apparently, because
I wasn't sure why the train stopped either.
I guess that's because they saw the guy fly out the window, I guess. What was that?
We're talking Amtrak here. That should have stopped.
They stopped the train. A transition makes no sense. Immediately, Taylor Lautner and the girl are captured by the CIA.
Well, right.
It's not really clear how.
Well, they're just walking in the middle of the road.
Yeah, walking in the middle of the road.
Like,
and the CIA.
They were hanging onto driftwood, river, and now they're walking
had to cut something down because they go from the CIA saying, oh, this European guy's dead, to all of a sudden, whoop, whoop, and they're like jumping out of the cars in the middle of the road. I mean, it was like this really abrupt scene.
Let's skip forward over.
There's something there too, though, because they stop him as they're climbing up the hill, and they use a little known tactic. But the CIA has this little known tactic. I think they use this on Osama bin Laden too. You offer them a cheeseburger
and a shake.
And a shake.
And you're going to be like, okay.
He says, come on, I'll buy a burger and a shake. Yeah. Jump cut. Slurping a shake, eating a burger.
I don't know if they tried that tactic Obama or Saddam Hussein. I mean, but they should have, because that one.
But just saying, it's like, he's been running this whole movie from the CIA, from the bad guys, and then they literally just say, Nathan, and he stops. Like,
he stops.
Who's my name?
Oh, you know my name?
Then,
I don't want to run from you. No, I know my name. So they go to the diner with these CIA guys. I mean, we can skip over most of this. Basically, the European guys find out that the CIA guys are talking to Nathan at this diner. The way I just described it actually probably makes more sense than what you actually see in the movie. There's bullets everywhere. This horribly edited together sequence where, you know, all kinds of shenanigans are going down. And so Taylor Lautner and Karen have to bust out.
You skip this though.
Yes.
When all these bullets are flying.
Oh, yeah.
All these bullets are flying. Bam. The bad guys like come running into the restaurant. Alfred Molina looks at the other chick, the FBI agent, and he kind of nods.
Yeah, they give each other the CIA look.
The bad guys come in, look at him, and they're both laying there with their eyes.
Play possum.
And they're like, and the bad guy's like, oh, okay, they're dead.
Yeah.
And then they pull out their guns.
And they both like wake up at the same time and like shoot down like five.
And it looks ridiculous. They don't even look dead. It's like they're just
sitting there with their eyes closed.
They're
like taking a nap
with their eyes closed.
I thought that was the most LOL moment.
Yeah, I laughed at that.
Because they have like the extreme close-ups on their faces. You thought they're gonna do some badass thing where they're gonna jump out from the counter with like machine guns, and no, it's like
we're gonna play dead. Wink, wink.
So somehow Taylor Lautner,
maybe they'll write us out of the movie. Maybe we'll fool the director into thinking he killed us off.
And now we're coming up on the big conclusion. Somehow Taylor Lautner and Karen get a car and are headed back to Pittsburgh. But by the way, where they have been, what has been going on in the timeline of this movie? As I'm understanding it, they started the day.
Yeah, I never knew where they were.
But it was you never knew where they were because
then all of a sudden they're in Pittsburgh again.
Well, they start the day in Pittsburgh. They apparently go to Virginia
to
then
find
get on a train to Nebraska.
And how far they travel to Nebraska? Who knows how far they got?
Yeah, they could have been like Illinois.
Now they're back in Pittsburgh. Now remember, they've been to Virginia and on a train to Nebraska. They're back in Pittsburgh in time for the Pirates game. It's clearly an afternoon game.
Worked so hard to get to a Pirates game.
When they leave the diner, they're in this car. They're in this car, and Taylor reveals that he's got this list that they want on his cell phone he took from his dad's apartment.
They're
talking about how he's got this list and he's not going to give it up, blah, blah, blah. Then all of a sudden his phone rings, and he answers it, and the bad guy says something like, somehow they've got the car tapped too, so they hear what he's saying in the car.
No, they say cell phones can be used as listening devices. That's why I'm afraid of technology now. I mean, now my cell phone can be used as a listening device.
It actually can be used
The phone is tapped even when it's not on. Anyway, so Taylor Lautner, being the genius that he is, comes up with this plan. He tells the main bad guy to meet him at a Pirates game. Which, of course, is the ultimate
revenge for the death of his family. I'm going to make you watch the Pirates.
I'm going to make you watch a Pirates game.
And now, I guess I didn't. They established this Pirates game, the tickets with a kid, a friend.
Well, he has a friend.
There's a friend who helps him every once in a while. He's kind of a worthless character.
What I want to know is, does he work for the stadium?
No, I think in the beginning of the movie, he says something like, oh, my father got me Pirates tickets, and he like holds tickets up to him.
So let's get this straight,
his father works at the stadium. They never say that.
Maybe his father works at the stadium? Okay.
They never say that.
Well, if your father works at the stadium.
Well, because there's a reason why I'm wondering that.
We'll get to it. So anyway.
He glues the tickets to the bottom of the statue.
He glues a ticket for the bad guy to the bottom of a statue, which in plain sight of a whole crowd of people who clearly would be like, hey, free tickets.
As a matter of fact, when I was watching that scene, I thought about, geez, look at all the people around that statue. I mean, why didn't he just
leave him at will call and call the bad guy and say, hey, I left the ticket at will call for you.
So he goes underneath there, tapes are on it, nobody looks and goes, hey, this guy just taped the ticket there.
Well,
you grab that and sculpt it or something, I mean.
Just to set up kind of what his plan is, Taylor Lautner's plan is, he leaves a ticket for the bad guy. The bad guy's going to have to meet him inside the stands for the Pirate game. And
the plan is that
Lautner is going to give him the phone. It's not really clear why he's even going to give him this phone. Because the bad guy says he's going to kill Taylor Lautner's friends.
Which
if he
they do that
the phone.
Lame ass when he says, I'm going to kill your friends. They have these shots of his friends all of a sudden.
And then he says, you'll be responsible for the death of every friend you have on Facebook.
But it's
like the weirdest threat I've ever heard.
It's never even really clear what Taylor Lautner's real plan is. He wants to get the bad guy to sit next to him at the
Pirates
game.
I think he's just going to waste him at the Pirates
game. He's got a gun taped under the seat, but and I don't think he's going to use it.
And no, then it's revealed that that somehow apparently Taylor Lautner's friend taped a gun for him under the seat at the game. We should also know, I want to make a quick note here. This is how ridiculous this movie is. In most of the wide shots, they shot this during a real Pirates game, clearly. Mm-hmm. You can see fans taking pictures of Taylor Lautner.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, you see the background. They're like,
I mean, just feet away from
this, following with their cameras.
Like, pointing at him, waving. I mean, probably should have done some of those shots, not when the real game was going on.
And I do love the awkward, where they walk
see each other across the way. The bad guy and Taylor Lautner, they see each other from around the way. Now, of course, Taylor Lautner has made sure to disguise himself by wearing a Pirates hat and a Pirates t-shirt. He gives his girlfriend the same thing. Why does it matter? They already know who he is. They already know where he is. So how would you know how would you know which one I am? It doesn't matter. So anyway, they're at the top of the concourse level or whatever. And then they go up a step, and then they're out, and they're climbing, and they're going down the steps
looking
simultaneously
at each other dramatically
from two different aisles, like so they're like looking at each other like a stare down.
So
then they pick a row and they go down, meet in the middle, stare at each other, and face camera, sit simultaneously.
It's almost like a synchronized swimming thing.
Yeah,
you know?
And it takes forever.
It's
the longest ever sequence of someone taking a seat.
I half expected, like, Taylor Lautner to go up a step to see if he'd go up a step, like in a cartoon,
like a
mirror. Mirroring each other.
Well, they sit down next to each other. Taylor Lautner, this guy wants the phone. Taylor Lautner. You know, I think Taylor Lautner's plan is he's
going
to shoot him with the
gun.
Under
the
gun.
He grabs the gun.
Then the bad guy's giving him some information about his family.
He puts the gun back because he wants to know about his family.
It comes out that the bad guy was the one who actually killed Taylor Lautner's mom.
Biological mother.
And anyway, so Taylor Lautner puts a gun. Now then,
this is funny. In
a movie full of nonsensical, insane things. So this is going on. In the midst of this, I can't even say this with a straight face. The Pirates hit a home run. Now, let's set this up for a second.
No, it wasn't the
Taylor Lautner's. Yeah,
it wasn't the home run that. Well,
no. It could be either or.
Yeah,
it was.
But either was ridiculous.
Well, let's set this up. I mean, you're sitting next to a super spy. You have a gun taped under your plan. The CIA is in the stadium looking for you. All these rogue agents are looking for you. Your plan is to kill this guy because he murdered your family. But hey, the Pirates hit a home run.
I have to stand
You got to stand up.
You
got to
stand up for that.
You
got
to stand up for that, right? How do you not?
He's representing. He's representing.
Never mind all this other stuff.
And
you got to
stand up awkwardly too. Very slow and awkwardly.
It's like a 5-shot sequence of him standing up.
Yeah.
And
then the bad guy.
I watched that scene. I think it was because a guy was coming down down the row.
But that guy never
being polite.
But that guy never goes
by
him.
But they didn't complete the sequence.
But the bad guy is sitting there next to him, like, looking at him all weird.
Right. Yeah, the bad guy's looking at him like, why are
and
you
the bad
guy, idiot?
And then he's like, oh, there's a gun right there.
And then all of a sudden he's got the gun. Like,
yeah, the bad guy just takes the gun. The bad guy's like, what an idiot. Why
like, seriously?
Yeah.
Why don't you just hand it to me?
Yeah. Boy, the Pirates really got that home run at the good time.
Go Pirates.
So now Taylor Lautner doesn't have the gun. And the bad guy's sitting there with the gun, enjoying his popcorn, and
he really liked that popcorn.
He really liked that.
No. He was in it.
They showed about 10 different shots of him.
He was in
popcorn.
It to win it.
Well, he even said, I really like popcorn.
Yeah. Really
yeah.
popcorn.
He did say, yeah.
Yeah.
Just like Sigourney hates balloons, the bad guy likes popcorn. Maybe there's a hidden meaning there.
So whatever Taylor Lautner's brilliant plan was, it just kind of
got
goes
foiled.
Out the
it's now reduced to just running.
Got foiled.
He goes to plan B, which is just run like a maniac through Pirates Stadium.
Also, he knows parkour too. Like, did his father teach him how to like do parkour?
Yeah, he's doing parkour. Yeah,
he's like bouncing off walls. I mean, it actually looks pretty cool. Yeah. But again, it makes no
sense.
I will
give the director props on one thing. He actually hurts his leg when he does the dramatic jump, which in most action movies, the action hero would survive unfazed.
That's the first time this kid got hurt throughout
and
the
that's,
whole
thing. Which
doesn't make up for that. You're right.
That's only because it benefits the plot.
Right, it helps the plot along.
Yeah. I mean, this is a kid who's literally had a train window broken on his face, like all these other things, but oh.
An 8-foot drop breaks
I just dropped like 8 feet. I think my ankle's hurt. Oh.
We gotta limp away.
So he's running away.
At this point, he's running through a stadium. and he's hiding from the bad guy, and he gets a phone call from his father, his real father.
His real father.
Who he's never met before.
Who says, oh, I'm here, son. I'm at the stadium. Get him out into the...
Get
him out into the south parking lot, because I'm here, and I'm going to shoot
him. And his real father is a CIA agent.
And so that's why he runs.
And his real father, interestingly enough, the real father's performance is equally as wooden as Taylor Lautner's performance.
It is.
You've never seen... had to match them.
You never see his face. Really, I thought they were going to reveal him at the end. I know who it is, but I mean, they do this dramatic thing where they never show his face. And
So Taylor Lautner does this crazy, like, limp stagger, like, out into the middle of the street. And again, just the main bad guys set up to us as one of the best covert spies in the country.
He's like a rogue agent.
A rogue agent who's chasing after Taylor Lautner, one of the top operatives in the world.
But he can't catch a 17-year-old.
What's his big plan? Runs out into the middle of a street outside a baseball game, screaming the kid's name,
holding a gun.
Yeah, real spy level stuff.
People are scattering.
It's like a stub nose 38 revolver. What's the range on that? Framed
Roger Rabbit.
Oh yeah.
It looks that massive, like, silver gun.
It's a 38 or something. What's the range on something like that?
I don't know. It looks ridiculous. I mean, this is real Cold War stuff. Yeah. A guy running down the middle of the street with a gun, shouting the name of the guy he wants to kill. So the Taylor Lautner's real CIA operative dad kills the bad guy
from parking garage.
From a parking with a sniper rifle.
With another line is like the agent says something like, "You're not as good as your father." He sings it almost.
Yeah.
"You're not as good as your father," or something. He says, "You think so?"
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
When his dad kills him, he's like, "Well, you didn't kill him. Your dad killed him." So
yeah, he's right.
I ran away really good, Dad. Yeah. Right?
So
I did good.
Stupid.
I did good.
So then. The movie
you ran like a chap, son. I congratulate you.
Which, by the way, instead of just shooting Taylor Lautner at a time, he has to look around.
Yeah, I'll look for his
father. And half the time,
Martin!
Now, half the time, I was hoping that the father character would move those crosshairs to Taylor Lautner.
So stupid. Movie wraps up, and
Sigourney comes back. She's alive.
Sigourney Weaver.
Which is supposed to be this huge shock that she's still alive, but as soon as the car exploded early in the movie, I said out loud, "Oh, she's still alive."
And it's Sigourney Weaver.
We don't know where Sigourney Weaver has been.
Well, no, they said at one part, "Oh, she wasn't in the car."
Well, no. I mean, but we don't know.
They said they couldn't find her.
We don't know why she hasn't been helping.
No, but she hasn't been helping him. Right.
Right. She hasn't been.
So it's not a shock thing. Like, oh, she's
no, it is, because they don't say. She was in the car. Alfred Molina says, "Or have you found a body yet?" They said, "Oh, not yet, or we haven't, or something like that." And he goes, "I want confirmation," and then he hangs up.
I thought they said she wasn't in the car.
No.
It's not clear. Anyway, Sigourney Weaver and her incredibly statue performance comes back into the movie. She's like,
"Some of the worst lines ever."
And then it's like, after all this, why don't you come live with me? You can date this chick. She can live with me too, even though her parents have nothing wrong with them, and they're just in Italy. And we'll let you go to college.
Yeah,
on the government's dime for helping us out.
Jack just read that with about triple the emotion that Sigourney Weaver
has. And how about that awkward thing where she's like, "How are you?" And she takes two steps awkwardly towards him, puts a hand on his shoulder, and then steps back. It's like, wow.
Feel the acting.
Everything with Sigourney Weaver feels like it was like a rehearsal, or like a blocking practice.
Or like she was hungover.
One of the worst lines, and I watched with my wife, and she even groaned at this line, is like, "Nathan, I was wrong about her. She's a keeper." It's like,
yeah. You like to keep the Karen.
We just both grew up like, that's the dumbest line, had
no interaction with that girl.
Right, right.
From the time they jumped out of the car.
The girl also did nothing to help Taylor Lautner.
No, she took the pictures of the bad guy when he was picking up
the put a pirate's hat on.
Because then they wouldn't have had that dramatic walk down the
steps. Even though
they're sitting
next to each other anyways.
If he didn't know what he looked like.
It's so bad. I mean, anyway, so the movie ends. Taylor Lautner and Karen walk off into the sunset.
One last phone call from his dad of approval.
Yeah, he gets a phone call approval from his dad. He's like, "Good job, son, but I still never want to see you." What?
It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous from now to walk across to say, "Hey, son, I'm..."
Yeah.
It's still too dangerous.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's standing 10 feet away on his cell phone.
I think it's clear.
With like a sniper rifle over his shoulder. "Where are you, Dad?"
They wanted to do this as a franchise. I think it's pretty clear. They thought this was going to be like a Bourne Identity teenagers, and this was going to be a franchise, which... gratefully,
still yet
will
to be
probably
seen,
not happen.
Still yet to be seen.
Yeah. Let's hope it doesn't.
Let's hope it. Anyway, I think we all hated this. This is honestly.
It was bad.
It should be mentioned
bad.
Too
Let's
that as the credits rolled, I had to ask myself why this movie was called Abduction, because
And there's no abduction. There's,
right.
At one point, there's no abduction. There's no...
At one point, you think there is an abduction. You think he was abducted. Right. But then he wasn't.
Should have called it. You think
so?
Should,
maybe
they
should put a question mark after
abduction. Yeah, abduction.
Abduction.
Maybe.
And maybe.
And this movie is somewhat legendary.
With a winky, smiley face next to it.
Emoticon. Yeah. It got a 4% on Rotten Tomatoes. A 4, which is a pretty bad.
Is that out of 100% or out of 10%?
That's out of
100. Okay.
Well, you can get a rotten rating or a fresh rating.
Okay.
So, I'm going to read just a couple of bits from the positive reviews. I'm going to start with Urban Cinephile.
Can we pass
director
this around?
Andrew Urban. Well, I'll just read just some tidbits and get your reactions. Who praises the cleverly structured screenplay and says the film jumps into real thriller mode and piles on the tension right to the end.
I think this guy just watched the
Are
trailer.
They referring
the
to
tension
like the end
was, when is this movie going to end? That's
I don't
the
know.
Tension.
And the only other really good review I could find, because of the 4%, some of the reviews were not good. The Birmingham Mail, this is their review, but as a stupidly entertaining, implausible, and downright far-fetched action flick, this no-brainer does the job better than the recent 30 Minutes or Less. 30 Minutes or Less was a comedy.
That was a comedy.
What is the, what? I'm reading this. He then goes on to say, and in Taylor Lautner, he is a young action man who proves himself to be no less capable than the more highly rated Shia LaBeouf was in the likes of Transformers, Eagle Eye, Indiana Jones, and Disturbia. Shia LaBeouf is Marlon Brando compared to Taylor. I mean, this is
my favorite
ridiculous
review about Taylor Lautner was that his performance was so wooden that he was like Pinocchio with abs.
Yeah.
It was...
To compare,
it was a Pinocchio. He was the lamp from Amityville 4 had better emotion.
I'm not going to overly praise Shia LaBeouf, but I mean he is.
Oh, you're right.
Is
no,
serious,
Shia,
right.
Shia LaBeouf is
he
Olivier
is,
compared to Taylor Lautner.
Yeah, that is ridiculous. And a couple of lines that I want to do from IMDb reviews. First from Cat Ear 13.
Okay.
Who does says that
work.
The movie was a little silly, but gives it says it's worth a look because there's some action. Some kissing, mm-hmm. Some drama, and with some suspension of disbelief, it's an okay movie.
No, ringing endorsement.
This is not an okay movie.
She needs to go. She goes. She needs to go see a wooden
and
therapist.
This,
had some kissing. I mean,
it did. Have some,
it
we
did.
Didn't talk
did.
About the love scene. Yeah. What were we
oh,
thinking?
Well. Well, and then this review. This is the best review. This is one from IMDb. This is from the G-Man from Australia, who starts off his very positive review by comparing it to the Hitchcock classic North by Northwest.
No,
I don't think anyone associated with the movie saw North by Northwest.
Who wrote that?
And then it goes on to say, it is engaging the audience in the machinations of a conspiracy reminiscent of Cold War thrillers, much like Spy Game and the more recent Bourne trilogy. Those are bigger words than are found anywhere in this. I mean, and here's this is the best line. This is from the G-Man, who it seems to be an adult, by the way. This is not like I don't think this is like a 13-year-old girl. Abduction is not just for twihards, but lovers and believers in contemporary cinema, underdogs who love a film which punches above its weight, and action junkies who relish the antics of a main character with Statham-like reflexes and prowess.
That's gotta be a joke.
I don't know.
It's gotta be a joke.
I hope this is like a plant. I don't. So bad. In watching the behind-the-scenes stuff on this movie, Taylor Lautner explains why he chose this film. He
because said he's in it.
Well, he was brought in by the studio and they showed him a bunch of scripts. And he didn't like any of the scripts. And at the end they said, well, we have this other project, but it's just a title, Abduction. And he said, that's the most interesting thing you've pitched to me. So that's it. If you want Taylor Lautner in your movie,
one word.
Don't write a script.
Just say a word.
Just say a word. Just walk up to him and be like, soda pop. You know, and you may get him
ashtray.
For it. And this movie, and there's something else I gotta say. This movie did cinema a huge favor. While he was making this movie, Taylor Lautner was attached to another movie. And when this movie crashed and burned at the box office, this other movie was shelved.
They pulled it. Nice.
Well, it looks like the movie may be resurrected, but Taylor Lautner is not going to be in it. So Abduction saved the world from this another other movie.
Taylor Lautner.
But we don't. We have no movie. Information on it.
We do.
Okay.
This movie was going to be a live action version of the Stretch Armstrong toy.
Holy crap!
Can you imagine that movie?
My God,
that would have been the horror of Taylor Lautner in a Stretch Armstrong movie.
That sounds more like Dwayne the Rock Johnson territory.
That sounds painful. I mean, that just sounds like torture. Oh God!
I'd rather be stretched on the rack like Stretch Armstrong than see that.
So to wind up, okay, was this movie so good? It's bad.
Let's start around.
Cody, we'll start with you. Is it so good? It's bad. I mean, so bad.
So bad.
This movie is not so good.
This is not a movie that I would ever own or watch again or recommend to anyone unless they're doing a bad movie podcast.
Right.
It's just not anything that it took itself too seriously and tried to be a good movie and it just wasn't.
Right. It didn't. I mean, I would never watch it in the first place. I will never watch it again. And there's no one, you know, it was a movie that's so bad that it's good. It has some one-liners, some really, you know, ridiculous fun stuff. There's nothing fun in this whatsoever.
I agree. I think it is definitely bad. I thought that it was slick enough in its style, and it was more ridiculous and absolutely worse than a lot of action movies, but action movies do ask you to believe a lot. So while this movie is horrible, and I concur with my colleagues, I would never watch this thing again, but I don't think it's so bad. It's good.
I struggled with this. At first, I thought it wasn't. But in the end, and I struggled, I think this is so bad it's good in the cumulative, the acting in this, if you are a fan of bad acting, this is Citizen Kane level stuff and implausible screenwriting. I mean, I think the baseball stadium scene alone, it's close. For me, it was so bad it's good, although I don't think I would ever watch it again either. It was so bad it's good for one viewing. Watching this again would just be painful and mean, but so I'm gonna say it was so bad it's good for one viewing only. No one should ever purchase this film ever at all.
I agree with Alex. But I actually might rewatch it because to me, what's more fun than anything is watching actors that previously did legitimate movies act really poorly. I mean, we're talking about Alfred Molina, a guy who was once Tevye and Fiddler on the Roof, a guy who was up for a, I don't know if he won a Tony, but he's up for a Tony. Sigourney Weaver, star of the Alien franchises. And I think I'd watch it again.
Okay.
Well, did we ever establish was Daddy Dermot Mulroney?
He is Dermot, which is funny.
He was from the Saw franchise, too.
Is Dermot Mulroney?
Oh, that dad.
Dermot Mulroney was the hidden father. Oh, right, yeah, he was. Yeah,
which
was,
is really fitting, because Dermot Mulroney is one of the most wooden actors. Right.
Absolutely. Putting that cherry on the top of this wooden sundae.
One last thing I forgot to mention. Dermot Mulroney is so wooden as the real father that when he's on the phone with Taylor Lautner, you might notice, they don't even do the phone sound effect. They just take his actual voice. They don't, because it's so wooden. I think if they put the phone sound effect on, people would think it was like a joke or something.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's it. We just picked the next movie that's going to be coming up. It is the M. Night Shyamalan classic, Lady in the Water. I'm going to read the tagline right here. A classic bedtime story for a new generation.
What?
It is a generation.
Is that what it says?
Yeah.
Speaking of good actors in bad movies, if this movie is as bad as I am hearing, why is Paul Giamatti in it?
It is for a new generation. It is a generation that has not come around yet.
Yeah.
For updates, you can go to our Facebook page on Wind Up Films on Facebook or on Twitter, Wind Up Films at Twitter. And
you were doing updates?
Yeah, I'm gonna do some updates on there. I'm on the internet. The collection of
I don't know if we should
wires.
Get on the internet after.
Just be careful. You have the technology.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true.
Your
yeah.
webcam might all of a sudden come
on. So the moral of the story is never call your uncle from your boyfriend's real father's CIA sex pad. Because bad guys and or the CIA may be listening.
Or the bad guys might be tapped into the CIA's tap of someone else's tap. So that's the lesson. All right. We'll see you next time here on Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. But for now, good watching.
Pepper!